Devastation doesn't even begin to describe what awaited Andrew McGinley when he arrived at his Newcastle, County Dublin home on January 24th last year. His three children, Connor, aged 9, Dara, who was 7, and 3-year-old Carla, all dead, suffocated by their mother, his wife of nearly 20 years, Deirdre Morley. Yesterday, she was found not guilty of their murder by reason of insanity by a jury of 10 men and 2 women in the Central Criminal Court. After yesterday's verdict, Andrew McGinley called for an investigation into Deirdre's diagnosis, treatment and medication prior to the tragedy, carried out as a matter of urgency. Our legal correspondent Orla O'Donnell was in court for the evidence and verdict, and we'll talk to her shortly. But first, in his own words, let's hear from Andrew McGinley. In this clip, he tells Miriam O'Callaghan when he first learned that something was terribly wrong that day in January 2020.
My neighbours had rang me to just say that they had collapsed outside, but I didn't know about the kids. I have to say, I assumed they were with the childminder. So after a little while, I rang Pauline, our childminder, and when she said they weren't with her, I looked over at the house, and the house was in darkness. I kind of, you're automatically, you start dreading. Yeah, I was just hoping when I opened the door that I would just hear the television and that I'll be sitting in watching a film or, but, yeah. Yeah, when I opened the door and I found Connor, first of all. And then the fire brigade had been attending the scene outside, and they came in with me. And we found Darren and Carla then as well.
Andrew McGinley talking to Miriam O'Callaghan. Orla O'Donnell, it was a short trial by the standards of most murder trials, but it was harrowing. You were there. Will you take us through the trial, the evidence and its impact?
Yes, well, the case was described in court, Mary, as a tragedy of unspeakable proportions, and no one who heard the details would disagree. That moment where Andrew McGinley came home not realising anything was wrong, I suppose, is one of the hardest details to take in. We heard during the trial that he was on the phone to his wife during the day, talking about the time that he'd be home, speaking about he was going to awake after work and he'd be home after that. And he had no indication from her that anything was wrong, let alone the catastrophe that awaited him when he got home. We heard about Deirdre Morley's state of mind and the terrible details of what she did on that day in great detail and on multiple occasions, even during the 3 short days of the trial. We heard her interviews with Gardaí, her interviews with psychiatrists, details of her medical records going back years, but particularly going back to 2018 when her depression began to get particularly serious. And I suppose what was particularly harrowing, apart from the details of what actually happened, were the mundane details of family life, which would be recognised by anyone who heard them. Even on the morning of the killings, Ms. Morley was preparing ham for that evening's dinner. And also what we heard were the normal, instantly recognisable nature of her worries as a parent. And these were worries that every parent might have, but she had amplified and catastrophised them and turned them into examples of the irreparable damage she believed she'd caused her children. We heard that in the week leading up to the tragedy, she'd kept her 7-year-old son off school because he had a cough. And the night beforehand, even after she tried to administer morphine to her children to sedate them, and that had failed, she was still giving her son Calpol for his cough and taking him into her bed to sleep. We heard about the television programmes the children were watching, even as their mother described something clicking in her head that morning and deciding to put her plan of killing herself after killing them into action. 3-year-old Carla was watching Trolls in another room. The children were bickering over Dara's Hulk and Iron Man toys. When she collected Connor from school, she let him buy a roll. She gave him his 15-minute screen time when he came home. And screen time was something she'd become fixated on. She was feeling overwhelmed by parenting. She'd repeatedly told psychiatrists she felt the fact that they had too much screen time was her fault for letting discipline slide because of her illness. Even things like Connor not being able to ride a bike, Dara not being able to swim, Carla not being toilet trained, they'd been blown up by her into catastrophes and failures that she was responsible for. And when her 7-year-old son Dara told her that she'd ruined his life by ending his screen time, to her that became a signal that she needed to act.
Now, the question for the jury was whether Deirdre Morley was guilty of murdering her three children or not guilty by reason of insanity. And they deliberated for more than 4 hours.
Yes, 4.5 hours, almost four and a half hours. And there was, I suppose, some surprise at the length of time it took. It was quite long for a jury in a trial where the verdict of not guilty by reason of insanity is agreed on by prosecution and defence. They were told on a number of occasions by the judge that they had to give a verdict in accordance with the evidence they had heard, and that the evidence all went one way. To find her not guilty by reason of insanity, the jury had to find, after hearing expert medical evidence, that Deirdre Morley was suffering from a mental disorder and that she should not be held responsible for the murders because she didn't know what she was doing was wrong or was not able to stop herself carrying them out. Now, the expert evidence in this case was unanimous that Ms. Morley did have a mental disorder and she fulfilled those two criteria in terms of being eligible for a verdict of not guilty by reason of insanity. It probably seems slightly strange to people as well that such a case came before a jury, but that is set out in the legislation. The ultimate decision is one for a jury to come to after hearing expert medical evidence. Some legal experts have suggested that where there is this agreement between prosecution and defence experts, maybe it might be more appropriate to have such a case tried before a judge on their own, or perhaps several judges, rather than putting people through the uncertainty and ordeal of a jury trial.
There are questions, Orla. Her husband Andrew has questions about her treatment. What has he asked for?
Yes, Deirdre Morley had been struggling with her mental health really through her entire adult life, but it became particularly bad in 2018. And then in mid-2019, she was admitted to St Patrick's Hospital as an inpatient for 4 weeks. Towards the end of that year, she was deteriorating again. But the court heard that Andrew McGinley had not been fully aware of the details of his wife's treatment and medication for her mental health, especially because she was a highly qualified nurse and she dealt with many details herself. For example, only after these tragedies had occurred did he discover that the doctor and clinic she was attending as an outpatient had written to St Patrick's Hospital in late 2019 seeking her readmission. But the people around Deirdre Morley thought she was actually getting better. She didn't tell people how severe her symptoms had become. And while they believed she was getting better, the psychiatric services were reporting that she was as bad as they'd ever seen her. Now, given the differences between what he heard in court and what he knew or didn't know beforehand about his wife's condition, Andrew McGinley is looking for a full investigation into his wife's diagnosis, treatment and medication in the run-up to these events. And he wants HSE Mental Health Services to carry out this investigation urgently. He said this would help them understand the insanity that took the lives of Conor, Dara and Carla. And particularly, he wants the family to be included in this. In his interview with Miriam O'Callaghan last night, he said that some of what they had heard from the two expert witnesses during the trial, the psychiatric witnesses, was new information to them about his wife's mental state. And he wants answers, and he said he wants to prevent any family going through the suffering that their family went through.
Just briefly, Orla, what happens now to Deirdre Morley?
Well, under the mental health legislation, she's been sent back in her case to the Central Mental Hospital because she has been there since shortly after the killings. The case then comes back before the court at the end of this month, and the judge is due then to get a report outlining whether or not she needs to remain in the Central Mental Hospital, whether or not she needs continuing inpatient care. Essentially, she will be there until such time as doctors decide that she is well enough to be released.
All right. Orla O'Donnell, our legal correspondent, thank you. We will have more on this story later. We'll hear from Una Butler. She lost her two daughters, Zoe and Ella, and her husband, John, in a murder-suicide over 10 years ago. And she has campaigned since for changes to the Mental Health Act. That's coming up.